can respect that. A gentleman theologian. Now, I personally studied from the person who replaced him and studied underneath him, Dr. Malcolm Yarnell III. I always say that when he's not around. But he says that Dagg is a very important American Baptist theologian and that he's worth reading and getting to know. So here we are, the image of God, the substantive view. Irenaeus Calvin Wesley, man has qualities and capacities and characteristics and abilities that are like God. Dagg says Genesis 1:26 is directly related to Genesis 1:28. Therefore, Genesis 1:26-28 provides for you the definition of the image of God. So let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at Genesis 1:26-28. Can I have someone read that for me as I'm looking around and I see that I brought a lot of books? There we go. I'll read it. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Okay, what does that mean? We continue on. "And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, over livestock and over all the things that creep on the earth." Dagg says, these two things work together. One is defining the other. God creates us to be in the image of God, then he's telling us how we're in the image of God. We have dominion. Then reiterated, 27, in our first poem, the first poem of creation. "So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." You have a tri reminder that you were created and that you're in his image. Seems a little Trinitarian to me, but there are some people who would argue that that's not Trinitarian. I just like to see threes when they come up, especially when God is doing something as the Trinity. And God then blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion." So he said to other things, be fruitful and multiply, but he's added to be fruitful and multiply this dominion concept of the fish of the sea and over the birds and over the heavens and over everything that moves on the earth. And God said, "Behold, I've given you every plant." And he goes on to finish that. But what Dagg is saying is we can't just read he created us in his image and stop. We got to read this passage and understand how this passage works together. That man has a role that God has given him to fulfill what it means to be in the image of God, and he calls it the covenant of works. Well, that's great, but can theologians really just create covenants out of nothing? Turn to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. Hosea is in the Old Testament. It is in the book of the 12. It's kind of near the end. If you get to Malachi, turn left and keep going a little ways. Hosea chapter 6. Oh, where did we go? Well, I'm not going to be able to find this reference for you because I didn't put it in my PowerPoint, and it is not coming to mind. Well, we're going to Google it then. Dagg says that in Hosea, one of the chapters, one of the verses, and it does say it, so Google it and find it, that Adam transgressed God by breaking the covenant of works. The covenant of works. And I apologize for not having that reference for you. My wife is going to look that reference up for me. What's that? Is it chapter 7? Oh, good, because I thought it was 6-8 and I couldn't find it. Thank you. I appreciate it. My memory is close, but not accurate. But like Adam, chapter 6, verse 7, they transgressed the covenant, and there they dealt faithlessly with me. And he says, this is the covenant. So since Adam had a covenant to obey God's command, which was to work and have dominion. That's the covenant of works. Therefore, the fall actually is man no longer being able to fulfill his function. You cannot work to the glory of God anymore. Consider the fact that what happens in Genesis chapter 3. What is specifically cursed by God in Genesis chapter 3? In Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 16. To the woman he says, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Be fruitful and multiply. A blessing or a curse, ladies? What was God's blessing is now a curse to us. All of us understand the fact that there is great love and great blessing in having a family. But there are those of us who can't have children. And that looms over us and hurts. There are those of us who have had children and lost children. There are those of us who had great care in doing our family and yet divorce still destroyed much of what we were working for. Be fruitful and multiply means that every one of our children is going to die someday. And you have to come with the reality, mothers, that your child will either look into your lifeless eyes or you will look into theirs. You can't fulfill God's role because of sin. Be fruitful and multiply is supposed to be a blessing. That's how we've only how we've talked about it. Because in chapter 1 it is. And in chapter 3 it isn't. There's a lot of pain when we talk about be fruitful and multiply because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Every function, every work, everything that was supposed to be just a blessing becomes a curse. And Adam, to Adam he said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and you've eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat from it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face, and you shall eat the bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Have dominion over the earth and subdue it. Work the ground, take care of the garden. Blessing or a curse? It is a blessing to work, to have a role that God has given you. But the fact is, no matter how hard you work, it's going to turn back into dust. Build your house, have a home, have a nice family. It will be gone in less than 100 years. Raise an empire. Be like Caesar of Rome and traverse the entire world and then be forgotten because you are nothing but dust. Have your own garden. Plant it on Good Friday. But your garden is going to get overgrown. It's going to die. And then when you're no longer tending it, it'll be forgotten. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. All the toil under the sun, meaningless. The very image of God is going to die. That which was meant to be a blessing, everything that was meant to be a blessing, every function that we're supposed to have, is a curse. Consider how Christ showed that he was in the image of God. Be fruitful and multiply. Have you heard of the line of faith? Adam begat Seth. Seth ends up begotten all the way to Noah. Noah begets all the way to Abraham. From Abraham, Isaac. From Isaac, Jacob. From Jacob, Judah. From Judah comes David. From David comes the King of Kings. See, be fruitful and multiply is a curse in Satan's dominion because we are all going to die. But when it comes to God's plan, be fruitful and multiply, was to bring forth the seed of David, who is to be called the King of all, the King of peace, who takes away the burdens of the world, who will not snuff out a smoldering wick and a bruised reed he will not break. And he functions then in the very image of God. Not by having his own children. No, he never gives birth or gets married or has his own children, but he is fruitful and he does multiply because he goes over and says, Peter, follow me. Nathaniel, follow me. Philip, there's none greater in Israel than you. Follow me. Levi, I call you Matthew now. You were a tax collector and a traitor. You are redeemed. John, you're the son of thunder. Your anger is going to be known by all, and you will then be known as the disciple who was loved. Be fruitful and multiply, because out of the anger of Saul of Tarsus will come the greatest love poem ever created by man, which concludes these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Can you imagine a murderer writing that? A person who wants to stone Stephen? Write, love, abide. Because Jesus was fruitful and multiplying. He said in John, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. Oh, but he had dominion over the earth, didn't he? So you can see him then on Calvary with the very curse that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 3 being pressed into his head. Oh yes, the earth will bear thorns, but they will be his crown. The curse of man removed, placed on Christ, because he is the perfect image of God and he perfectly functioned in our place. And if you would put your cares on him, if you would believe in him as the perfect image of God, you would be redeemed. That is the Baptist view of what it means to be in the image of God. It is our curse and his grace, his blessing to sit at the right hand of the Father. Because you see, after Genesis chapter 1, final day where God says it's very good. That next day he says it's finished. It's finished. We are the climax of creation. We are the greatest that there is. But there on Calvary, there stands one Savior who says it is finished. I have fulfilled the role of Adam, so that Paul will say, look, now you have a second Adam, who is Christ Jesus, who came to bring about the salvation of mankind, to free us from the curses that were supposed to be blessing and return us to the blessings of God. No animal can have that gift. Only the children of God, who are given the right to be called children of God, not because we will it to be, but because he chose us. That's the gospel. It's all based on what it means to be in the image of God, because Christ is the perfect image of God. The pure reflection, light from light, true God from true God. Yes, he was born of a virgin. Yes, he was born. He is a fruit. He is the fruitful and the multiplied blessing. That's the story of Scripture. He is born of a virgin. He lived in the days of Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was found guilty in a trial. And he died, taking the curse of the earth upon his brow. And then he was raised to walk.